Hey, Trey here. Two things. First, I'm not sure if you know it, but Us and Them was honored with four Associated Press Broadcasters Awards, including one for excellence in public service through journalism. Second, it's the time for the Spring Pledge Drive at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And if you value the work that our Us and Them team does in telling the stories about the things that divide Americans, would you consider making a pledge of support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting? You can call or text to 1-800-RADIO-87, or you can go online to WV Public and find the little red button at the upper right-hand corner. And when you pledge, let them know where you live and that you're a listener of Us and Them. Doing this would be a big help for our show and the other great programming at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And thank you so much. Hey, this is Trey. And we, West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the Us and Them podcast, are continuing the special Red State, Blue State collaboration with KCRW in Los Angeles. It's a conversation between the blue bubble in Southern California and Trump country here in West Virginia. And we're going to keep this going through the midterm elections and maybe a little bit beyond. And speaking of the midterms, Americans go to the polls in a couple of days. And the issues motivating them are vast and personal. It's easy to forget that when we talk about how this race or that race could sway the control of Congress. So for this week's installment, my partner Cherry Glazer is checking in to see how red state and blue state voters are feeling.
I'm Cherry Glazer here in Santa Monica, California. This week, two listeners talk it out. Linda Reif lives in Orange County here in Southern California. She identifies as liberal, but she's registered as an independent. And Linda, I also understand you're a music composer and a mom. Great to have you here.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And Dina Thaxton Sams is from Charleston, West Virginia. She's a family therapist and an evangelical Christian. And Dina, I hear you voted for Donald Trump in 2016, but that you really had to wrestle with that decision. So we want to talk with you about how he's doing in a minute. But we are very glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Linda, you're hoping for a blue wave in what has been traditionally red Orange County. What has been the biggest motivating factor or moment for you in this very long election cycle?
I have to say, most recently, the Kavanaugh hearings took a really huge toll on me. I went through something very similar to what Dr. Ford went through, and hearing her testimony really, it brought things out for me that I haven't thought about in years, like decades, actually. And honestly, I feel like it's affecting me more now than it ever did before in my personal life. You know, I would have to say that's definitely a huge one. And also all the immigration issues that we're seeing right now and the family separations that were happening at the border and that I've recently learned are still happening in some cases. And, you know, as a mother, that really hits home to me to know that these children are being torn from their families.
Dina, one of the big issues for Republicans in the final days heading up to the election has been immigration, sending troops to the border to in connection with this migrant caravan, refusing asylum. How does this speak to you as an evangelical, as a therapist, as a family member?
I'm a little outside of what the stereotypical person is in this kind of thing. I know a lot of conservative evangelicals are strong on immigration crackdowns and that sort of thing. I do think we need to have some sort of control, but I also lean on the side of compassion. You know, we should have, we are the people that try to make room for people to come in. We want to show them what we have. We want to give and be compassionate to people. I don't think splitting families up is the right thing to do. I never did. It doesn't really matter what our law is. I would appeal to a higher law than that.
midterm elections are often seen as a kind of referendum for whoever is in the Oval Office. How do you think President Trump is doing? How is your family, the people you talk with for work, how do they think he's doing?
I'm not really sure. I'm not sure there's much of a reference for President Trump to measure it by. I'm sorry. I'm kind of laughing to myself. My daughter introduced me to a Netflix special where the comedian John Mulaney talks about the horse in the hospital. You know, instead of, he never says Trump in the White House, he says, there's a horse loose in the hospital. and so that's sort of how we kind of talk about it in our house. It's like,
meaning yeah. He's unconventional. He's definitely sort of outside
the mainstream idea.
As far as presidents are concerned.
We have no idea what's going to happen next because there's a horse loose in the hospital. It's
like, and anything's possible. Is that what you're saying?
Anything's possible. And we don't know. You know, maybe the horse will get on the elevator and go to the right floor. But it's possible that he could hit the wrong button and blow up the hospital. We don't know. I do think that my opinion is that lesser government will bring business and more economic development, in which we certainly need here. So I think there is some value in those sorts of policies that he may bring to us. Now, character, that's a different story entirely.
I like that horse in the hospital image, you know, but I would also ask, though, is that really the situation you want in government? You know, in terms of, you know, the economy, sure, there was a tax cut, but at the expense of increasing the deficit in our national debt by a lot, which is already extremely high. And I don't see that, you know, any of those policies have really helped our very local situation or my personal family situation. My retired parents' taxes went up, not down, with the tax bill. So, you know, the economy may be doing well now, and we may be having really low unemployment right now, but I don't see that that's going to last.
Dina, how about the view in West Virginia? I mean, you know, we've got the stock market has been, by and large, it's taken some hits recently, but it's definitely seen a big run up in the last couple of years. Nationally, the unemployment rate is low, but West Virginia is still dealing with some pretty significant economic challenges, right?
We are. There are areas of West Virginia that are like ghost towns that used to be booming coal industry there, and those are just empty. We have a lot of places where we need infrastructure. There are massive areas of the state that have very little internet access, all kinds of things that are needed here. And we don't see a lot of that happening, but we haven't seen it happen for way longer than the last 2 years.
Linda, is there a question that you'd like to ask Dina about how she sees things playing out in her community, the issues that loom large for her and her neighbors?
Well, I would ask if your local leaders and, you know, your representatives in the federal government, like, do you really believe that what they're doing is best for your state right now, for its future and for the children? Like, do you believe the West Virginia Republican Party in your state can really overcome these issues and bring jobs to West Virginia?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. I'm not sure that it's up to government to make those kinds of things. I know they need to make the environment so it's conducive to that, but I don't know that government can fix everything. We need to develop here. We need to have industry come back. There are a lot of things that we need in the state. I'm not sure that five people that represent us in Washington can make that happen.
Do you feel like there's not necessarily an understanding in other parts of the country of the sort of extent of the economic challenges you're facing there?
Oh, I think it's pretty hard for almost anybody else to understand West Virginia. I just think we're a very different group of people. It's a different climate. It's a different geographical terrain. There's all kinds of reasons why people might not understand it. And it's very difficult to explain that. I don't even think I realized how different we are until I got into, you know, until I traveled and visited other places and met other people. We're pretty well secluded here.
Dina, what question would you want to ask Linda about the political issues that loom large for her and her community?
Linda, what do you think is the biggest challenge happening for Southern California right now?
Climate change. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been in a drought that's lasted, I don't know how many years now. It's been many, many years. And we have wildfires here that they're worse than they've been in a long time since I can remember. I don't think I've ever, you know, my lifetime seen such bad fire seasons. I mean, we have, you know, people joke that, you know, California doesn't have seasons, but, you know, we have fire season, you know, like we just name a whole season after the fire, you know, and then come the mudslides and the water shortage.
Right.
The environmental protections that have been rolled back recently, I don't think are helpful to us as a state. You know, luckily here in California, we do have very strict environmental regulations, probably the strictest in the entire world. I'm very proud of that as a Californian. And I hope that we can continue that. Although there are people in the federal government who want to, you know, basically stop us from being able to set our own environmental laws. That I think is a big challenge for us.
When we went to Disneyland, we didn't take ponchos and it rained, so we tried to do our part to keep the drought down. So
thank you.
You're welcome. But, you know, I don't know that climate change is at the front of it, of most West Virginians' thought process. I think there may be more pressing things they would say would matter more right now.
Like what?
Whether or not they're going to be able to feed and clothe their family for the next year, whether we're going to be able to have heat for the winter, whether our house is going to survive the next flood. And then, of course, there's the opioid situation that is pretty much taking over our state. We're in such a horrible condition with drug addiction, opioid addiction in particular, that I'm not sure we can even think past that right now.
Linda Reif in Orange County, California, Dina Thaxton-Sams in Charleston, West Virginia. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Music lifts us up and brings us together, even when we can't get together in person. Mountain Stage brings you live performances on the air, online, and in our podcast. They remind you how it feels to be in a live audience listening to live music. This is Larry Gross, host of Mountain Stage. Find a link to our stations and our podcast online at mountainstage.org.
You've been listening to Red State, Blue State, a collaboration between the Us and Them podcast and KCRW in Santa Monica, California. This is one of several conversations that we'll present leading up to the midterm elections and maybe a little bit beyond. And we want to hear from you. Whether or not you are in a red state or a blue state, what's the most important issue in your neck of the woods? Is it the economy, the environment, immigration, or the horse in the hospital? Would you share that with us? Go to wvpublic.org and search Red State, Blue State, or kcrw.com/redstateblue state. And thank you very much.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.